American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, April 7th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against the corporate political tyranny that is trying to enslave you, you idiot. Wake up and smell the coffee. It's everywhere. RFID is everywhere. It's lurking. It's out to get you. Yes, it's true. The radio frequency identification chips are going in everything. They're going in the mayonnaise. They're going in your dog. They're going in razor blades. They're going everywhere. It's absolutely hideous, and it's up to people like you, and it's up to people like me, and it's up to my dog to make sure that we fight against this incredible, incredible insanity that is descending upon us from on high. I know I am laying it on thick, but this is Newsreel, and that's what we do here. We lay it on pretty thick because it's all good fun when you're looking at the end of the world. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, which you can get to that same said live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Sean Kennedy, by the way, is spelled S-E-A-N, Kennedy like the dead guy, caught the bullet from the CIA, even though they framed other people for it. Nothing new there. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio and the Box Music Network, and you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. There is nothing you cannot do with this broadcast. You can get naked, roll around in this broadcast. You can fold up this broadcast, sell it to friends. You can use this broadcast to rewrap your sandwich meat and leftovers. It's got a million and one uses, this broadcast. It's a great stain remover. This is guaranteed. Newsreel, I hereby guarantee, will get blood out of your bed sheets. Guaranteed, not a problem. Just throw Newsreel at it, and it's gone, baby. Getting straight into some feedback right off the top. Feedback. Greetings, Sean. Hello, greetings back. It's always weird, you know. You can tell a lot by someone by how they say hello. After hearing your show yesterday, which must have been just yesterday, I felt the urge to send you feedback regarding my experience with the Church of Scientology. Oh, good. My mother first got involved with Scientology when I was young, 11 years old, to be exact. I'm very sorry. At this young age, hey, it could have been worse, she could have been younger. Due to my mother's interest, I became interested in it as well. Of course, you can emulate your parents. Ended up going all the way, signing up for service at the main headquarters in Tampa, Florida, which is a giant hotel known as Flag. Yes, that's where the cult has their headquarters, is in this bizarre hotel in Tampa, Florida, and they've dumped a lot of money into it. It's very, very odd what that church spends its money on. Oh, did I say church? I meant cult. With my mother's permission, I flew across the country and started a life dedicated to the quote-unquote religion. What happened to me there was terrible. This is when he's at this hotel in Tampa, Florida, the Flag Hotel, which, of course, you don't have to go very far to find out. For 3 months, 6 full days a week, I was forced to work full-time as a hotel maid, cleaning 80 rooms a day for celebrities and other wealthy people. During this time, I never went to a day of school. I was fed roach-infested food. I was paid $15 a week, which I spent on candy bars and comic books. A young girl I was working with was raped by our staff manager. Luckily, I came out of the experience relatively unharmed and was able to catch the corruption very quickly. All I can say to you, Sean, is thank you for spreading the word about what a sick and greedy cult Scientology really is. People need to know the truth. And I'm going to be withholding that name for obvious fucking reasons. Now, it's nice when I get letters like this one because, you know, every once in a while I sit back and I go, and I listen to some of my old broadcasts, you know, and I sit back and I go, whoa, you know, hey, man, you're pretty extreme over there, you know. I mean, even Hunter Thompson would tell you to slow down some of the stuff you're saying, you know, and then I would start to wonder, ah, maybe I am being too extreme. Maybe Sean should just calm down a bit, you know, maybe I should just relax, take it easy. What's wrong with having a good for a change? They'll leave us alone. All we got to do is play along, right? Right? All you've got to do is sell your soul, and you can buy into this great big North American lie, which is coming apart at the seams as, well, you know, the economy slowly takes a shit, and we run out of gas. But even though we've got our armies, which will, you know, force these perfectly noble men and women to die in foreign countries fighting for things that are not just, even though we will send these most noble of heroes to their death, and like heroes they go, like marching samurai into the seppuku den, I must admit that occasionally I feel like, you know, selling out and joining up. But then I get an email like this, where some poor guy, you know, was involved with a dangerous cult. His family was exploited by them. He was exploited for cheap labor. You know, tales of sexual abuse and rape and all sorts of evil shit. And it kind of makes me feel good that maybe, just maybe, because I'll never really know how much good I've done because most of my stuff is preventative. But just maybe I may have saved some other young person from their fate. And to this person who sent me that letter, sorry I couldn't get to you sooner, Chief. So as far as I'm concerned, make sure you hand it out at the schoolyard. News! Straight into the news today. Behold the beast. The great beast of capitalism. I show this to you this very hour. Yes, it's true. Of the 18.4 billion... that Congress appropriated 16 months ago for post-war reconstruction in Iraq, only $3.6 billion has been spent to date. Oh? That leaves us a discrepancy of over $15 billion. Well, actually, just shy of $15 billion. There has been much head-scratching over the uncharacteristic failure of the Pentagon to spend the money promptly. What happened to all that money? A recent unearthed portion of the Defense Department memo shed some light on the issue, suggesting that more than $14 billion was earmarked for reconstruction was actually invested on Wall Street. The memo's author and date are unknown. This portion of the apparently classified document, marked page three, was mistakenly sent to Mid-America Seed Savers, a nonprofit organization in Lawrence, Kansas, whose members had filed a Freedom of Information Act requesting for documents related to the Army's alleged distribution of genetically engineered wheat seed to farmers in Iraq. The memo fragment is reproduced in full here. And it says page heading, Reconstruction Fund Enhancement. And it goes on to say, among these, the scenario with the greatest potential was investment in a medium-risk portfolio in U.S.-based securities. And then we got it in bold here. To accomplish this without incurring excessive and unwarranted scrutiny, the secretary issued a classified order creating the Office of Special Brokerage Services, OSBS, to which management of the reconstruction funds was assigned. The OSBS quietly, through third parties, purchased approximately $5 billion of stock in February 2004. Another $9.2 billion was invested the following month. As of December 31, 2004, the fund had shown a net growth of approximately 1.7%. Well, at least they're spending the money and investing it in ways that, you know, you could recover the cash again. I suppose there's an upswing there. The negative growth observed to date should not be cause for gloom. This is a long-term investment on behalf of the Iraqi people. According to OSBS projections, the fund's assets will achieve a total value of $38.9 billion by a decade from now, assuming vigorous growth in the U.S. economy. Now, what I would sooner see that money spent on Americans. I'm sorry, but I would. Yes, they went into Iraq, and yes, they bombed the snot out of it. Now, the war is completely evil and unjust. There is nothing you can do to justify that war. So, you know, what are you going to do? You going to try to make reparations for this totally unjust war and all the people you murdered? No, dude, pull out, get lost. Nobody wants you there? Fuck it. Leave. Time to go. Bad idea. Sorry, we're leaving now. Okay, that's how it works. And then you take your money and you start looking after your people. This whole system, its priorities are so incredibly wrong, its priorities are so incredibly fucked up, that it will commit these massive atrocities, which it's done overseas in Iraq and in all those places. It'll commit these huge fucking atrocities over there and then think it can throw some cash at it and fix the deal. Sorry, money only fixes things in the United States. And even then, sometimes, you know, it doesn't really work. Because a lot of the Iraqi people, I don't know, I guess it's like what they said in Full Metal Jacket, poor dumb bastards, I guess they'd rather be alive than free. You know, what are you thinking? So it's something that, you know, when you look at that, I mean, at least the money's still there, maybe we can get it back, maybe now that, you know, this quasi-memo has surfaced, it's something we can look at. But I don't know, man, it worries me. Big shock, got a big news flash for you here, therapy works! Holy shit, who knew? Well, apparently the drug companies don't want you to think about therapy. Psychological therapy is just as good as drugs to treat moderate to severe depression, according to a study published by the Archives of General Psychiatry. The findings challenge the current practice outlined by the American Psychiatric Association that says antidepressant medications are the only effective treatment for moderately to severely depressed patients. I feel really bad. Well, we'll dope the shit out of you, and I guarantee after being doped up for a while, pretty soon you need that doping. The study found that both forms of treatment work better than the placebo. However, the research team said they demonstrated cognitive therapy prevented relapses more effectively than medication at the end of the treatment. So if you do it yourself through talking through your problems, working it out with a therapist, someone who's paid, someone who's trained, someone who knows how to help you through your problems, at the end of the therapy, you are able to recover better than if you're on medication, because medication just blasts over it and therapy actually fixes the fucking problem. The research team looked at 240 depressed patients that were randomly placed into a groups that received psychological therapy, drugs, or a placebo. Wow, bet the guys in the placebo felt ripped off. After 16 weeks, the researchers reported patients in both drug and psychological therapy groups showed improvement at about the same rate, 58%. So, with this armed new knowledge, why don't we see a huge insurgence in therapy? Yes, it's true. You don't have to put your family on drugs. All you have to do is talk amongst yourselves and you can solve your problems. Watch a set of DVDs that explains to people how to help each other, how to love each other again, how to have a family unit again, because that's what family units are for. Having a family above a million other things, having, you know, the Cosby dad, even though he may not be a very good Cosby dad, but even if he just, you know, gives it the good old college try, that's very therapeutic. And it shows, if nothing else, that your parents actually love you. So all the parents out there, especially my law enforcement brethren who have tuned into this very fine broadcast, if you have kids, even if you hate me, you arrest me, you lock me in jail, throw me in the basement, throw away the key, and have the scary man with the little round glasses come torture me with the coat hanger, even if that occurs, make sure you at least love your fucking children. And that means more than carrying their picture in their wallet. That means that you have to talk to them. This means that you would have to spend more time with your child than you would spend with a pit bull. You must spend 2 hours a day with a pit bull. So I would guess, being as the propensity for violence amongst children is much higher than any mammalian quadruped, I would bank that you should spend more time with your kids. Then it's depressing that a psycho on the internet has to tell you that. Come on, how far have you fallen off of the parental high horse? That's what I'd like to know. And in the good news, I can't believe this, fall off your chair. Had to make sure this isn't yet another April Fool's joke for me to fall for. There's hope in the UK. As predicted by L. Reg, the government looks to ditch its unpopular ID card legislation if Tony Blair calls an election today. Blair is widely expected to ask the Queen to dissolve Parliament today, the trigger for a general election on the 5th of May. But this means she must sacrifice several bills currently before the House. To have any chance of getting through before the election, legislation needs cross-party support. Lord Strathclyde, Tory leader in the Lords, made it clear yesterday that today's program that his party would not cooperate with ID card legislation in its current form. Hooray! Other bills likely to get left on the shelf are those outlawing religious hatred, the drugs bill banning the sale of magic mushrooms, and the gambling bill, which would legalize super casinos. Wow. That's a pretty wild set of bills they're going to set up there. So it's like, hey, yeah, we'll give you, like, so it looks like everyone over there, you know, some shamanic stuff must have happened, because not only do they get to keep their magic mushrooms, they don't have to fill out for their Gattaca-style paperwork either. Sounds like a good thing to me. And break out your vaporware stuff. I only report on the hottest of hot vaporware. You know, generally it has to be pretty fucking hot vaporware for me to report on it. And this is pretty hot. Liquid metal. Yes, and it's also, they're talking about transparent metal as well. But liquid metal has a million applications. In the movie Terminator 2, the villain was a robot made of liquid metal. Actually, he was made of a liquid organic metal. He morphs from human form to helicopter and back again with ease. Did you see that fucking movie? Because at no point did the T-1000 morph into a helicopter. It didn't happen. He morphed into the helicopter when he broke the window and poured himself into the seat, but he could only form simple stabbing weapons, no guns, and he sure as shit couldn't turn into a helicopter. You know, that's the problem with reporters today. They do no research. Molds himself into any shape without breaking and can even flow under doorways. Now, a similar sounding futuristic material is about to turn up everywhere. You know, once we get past this reporter, we'll be just fine. It's called metallic glass. Really? In the past, researchers have made metallic glass 3 times stronger than the best industrial steels and 10 times springier. Also a match for the Terminator, in other words. Ooh. Metallic glass sounds like an oxymoron. In a way, it is. It describes metal alloy with a chaotic structure. While metal atoms normally arrange themselves in order to rays or crystals, the atoms in metallic glass are disordered, jumble, rather like atoms in liquid or glass. Although, strictly speaking, the metallic glass isn't liquid because the atoms are fixed in place, the company is already marketing the stuff as liquid metal. The unusual structure that makes metallic glass so promising, it's crystalline metal alloys. The atoms are created within so-called grains, and the boundaries between the grains are points of weakness in the material. Metallic glass, however, have no grain boundaries, so they're much stronger. Hit a crystalline metal with a hammer, it will bend, absorbing some of the energy of the blow given back along the grain boundaries. But the atoms in an amorphous metal are tightly packed, easily bounce back to the original shape after the blow. These materials lack bulky crystalline grains, can be shaped into features in just 10 nanometers across, and their liquid-like structure means they melt at lower temperatures and can be molded nearly as easily as plastics. Well, if it's 10 times stronger than steel, and the only thing you got to worry about is getting it hot, I have one word for you, and that word would be swords. Thank you very much. I would like some liquid metal swords. Also, well, I'd like to see... There is a method that they use to make golf heads, which I've long considered to make swords, where what they do is they take metal while molten and they compress it under pressure into the mold. So they, like, fill as much metal into the mold as they possibly can and then have it compress under huge, huge tonnage of pressure and then make these golf club heads. But I was always thinking that if you were to take this liquid metal, use that same sort of compression forging, you could make some really, really cool knives. I got a black ice warning for you, something you want to correct inside of the Firefox browser, which, of course, all good WOGs and newsreel listeners use Firefox when you're just sick of all the Microsoft stuff. Both Firefox and Mozilla browser suites are vulnerable to attack through flawed JavaScript engines, a security forum reported Monday. Well, let's see if we can get guys like Roto out there to check this particular bad boy out. The Mozilla Foundation's open source browsers can be exploited by hackers to gain access to currently in memory, but not information only stored on the hard drive, said the Danish security company Sekuna. According to Mozilla, the use of JavaScript's Lambda replaces can expose arbitrary amounts of heap memory after the end of a JavaScript string. Successful exploitation may disclose sensitive information in memory. That's a may in there, and it can. Said Sekuna in its online alert. That's what the company said. Now, I understand nothing of what that is because I'm not a coder, so hopefully some coders dig that and can figure out what my bad reading will tell them. The bug has been confirmed in most recent versions of Firefox 1.0.2 and Mozilla 1.7.6. At the moment, no patches available. Dun, dun, dun. Developers are working on one, however. To track what they're up to, check out a page linked here on Bugzilla. So on Bugzilla, you can get all the links and go check that out. Sekuna recommends that users temporarily disable JavaScript support for what is considered to be moderately critical bug. Firefox and Mozilla's users can try this test at Sekuna and is created to confirm that their browser is vulnerable. So there's a test. You go to the page, do this test, find out if your browser is vulnerable. If it is, make sure you turn off your JavaScript support so that you don't become, well, a target of all those evil hackers, which, of course, everybody's out to get you. Now, of course, the big news that everybody's talking about is the new passports needed whenever you so much as even think about leaving the United States. I got a note here attached to the story when it was sent to me by Valerian. Valerian's note is as follows. You think I'm extreme? We have a real problem here, folks. Get your passports now before you can't, and they shut down the borders here in the U.S. I will this month. Canada or Ireland, here I come, because I can't take this crap any longer. Birth certificates are no longer valid for Canadian crossings. Let's treat all our U.S. citizens like fucking cattle. Implant RFID tags on them and kill them covertly if they get out of line. And just so you know, the sheeple will just take it like passive dogs. I am so pissed off at this news, I'm foaming. Someone send me pink light and meditation, please. Please, fuck man, wow. End of quote from Valerian, which I respond is generally sort of a good cross-section of what most people feel in the United States. And I am truly sorry about this. Can't say as I'm real surprised about it, though, but here we go. Americans will need passports to re-enter the United States from Canada, Mexico, Panama, and Bermuda by 2008, part of a tightening the U.S. border controls in an era of terrorist threat, three administration officials said Tuesday. Similarly, Canadians will also have to present a passport to enter the United States, said the officials, who spoke on condition of anonymity. Canadians have been the only foreigners allowed to enter the United States with just a driver's license. An announcement expected Tuesday at the State Department will specify that passport or another valid travel document will have to be shown by U.S. citizens, the official said. Until now, Americans returning home from Canada have only needed to show a driver's license or other government-issued photo identification card. But now, in the United States, land of the free, home of the brave, it is turning into land of the registered and home of the imprisoned, because very quickly, you are not going to be allowed to leave the United States. Very quickly, Canada is going to stop United States. Actually, I wonder if that'll work, because Canada has thrown its doors open in immigration. Okay, we have just thrown its doors. Come on down. Get down in. Okay, we love everybody. Come on in. You know, we got a million Indo-Canadians coming in here. We've got everybody come. Well, they're not Indo-Canadians. They're I guess they'd be Indians. They're from India, anyhow. And they're coming in. You know, we got all sorts of, you know, Spanish people. Anybody who wants to come over here, Chinese, Japanese, we don't give a shit. Come on in. Well, lots of beer for everybody here. You know, sometimes we have some cultural problems. Sometimes it's difficult because, you know, in Surrey, for example, in British Columbia, Surrey, we have the largest East Indian population outside of India in the world. And unfortunately, in India, there's a lot of weird, you know, mud hut religion kind of threats going on and family clan feuding and, you know, your people killed my people and all that kind of shit. So this gets covered over and you get a lot of what we call brown on brown violence, which that sounds like a racial term, but it's not. I mean, it's like my friends who are East Indian, they tell me that they call themselves brown, which, okay, I equate skin color to mean about as much as eye color, but whatever, you know, if that's something you want to identify with, that's okay. So I guess most of the violence, they call it brown on brown, and even the weddings and that up here, some of the Sikh weddings, they get a little crazy, you know, there's lots of blood on the walls. The RCMP winds up getting called in. And that's a cultural thing, I guess. I don't really understand it, so I can't comment on it. But I can report to you that that's what happens. I don't know why that happens, and I'm sure it's not every single Sikh wedding, but it is fairly common at some of the Sikh weddings. So there's probably a lot of boiled over tensions and stuff like that from the old country when they come here. And hopefully with a little bit of luck and, you know, just a little bit of work, we'll be able to overcome that. But realistically, I would throw open my borders, no problem. I'd love to have the Americans. Come on up. Sick of your government? Come on to Canada. Bring your constitution with you and let's reform the Great White North. What do you say? Sound like a plan to you? Because it sounds like a plan to me. Only thing is, in Canada, we have certain rules. One, unfortunately, not everyone can carry guns. Two, we are not so big on the racism. We don't like the racism. We've got a problem with racism in our country. We're trying to get rid of that. You know, so please, no psycho racist people. We'd rather just have the nice, pretty loving hippie people. You know, all the guys who came up from Vietnam because they didn't want to go fight in that war. Yeah, more like that, please. That'd be wonderful. And in other good news, wow, it's a good news day today, hey, this Thursday. The UN has grown some nuts. Who knew? I guess it only took a couple of major atrocities to get this group to maybe clue in that they should do something. The United Nations Military and Democratic Republic of the Congo, which that's just a happy fucking place to be, have carried out an attack on militiamen who refused to surrender their weapons. Hoorah! A UN battalion backed by helicopters targeted two rebel camps southwest of main town in Bunia in the Ituri region. Shots were exchanged. A number of militiamen fled on the arrival of the UN forces. The UN mission of the DR Congo Monarch said in a statement. It gave no detail on any arrests or weapons seized. Colonel Hassan Mahmoud, the deputy force commander, said earlier the operation would send a message to other militias that the UN would destroy all their camps. Wow. It was intended to show that we mean business, quote-unquote, Colonel Mahmoud said. The UN vowed to take a tough line against Ituri's warring ethnic militia after a disarmament deadline expired. With fewer than half of the 15,000 fighters giving up their weapons. Wow, that's a lot of people. Colonel Mohammed, mind you, that's a insurgents rebel force of 15,000 fighters. And I draw your attention to the fact that MS-12, the criminal El Salvador drug war gang, has 20,000 members living in L.A. Colonel Mahmoud has accused the militias from the Lendu tribe of committing an appalling catalog of murder and rape. Very vicious ethnic warfare fueled by ready access to weapons has cost the lives of tens of thousands of civilians in the province. UN envoys have twice urged the militiamen to join the disarmament process agreed to by the militia by the main militia groups of Ituri last September, but they refused. They refused. Half the fighters in the eastern Ituri region are under 18 years old, and some are as young as 8, UN officials say. And this is all part of growing up under a violent culture. You take a child, you can imprint them with any kind of software you want. If you want to turn them into little hate mongers, that's possible too. There's a great film that shows very, very, very briefly some of the style of atrocities that go on in Africa. If you want to check out Tears of the Sun, I enjoyed it. It's a good war movie. Liked it a lot. They have a few samples of just the beginnings of a hideous ethnic cleansing. They don't even touch on it. If you want to get into the real nasty shit, if you want to really know how bad it can get, and this is only if you're, just really into this kind of stuff, and you want to know to make sure that I'm not lying to you and why I broadcast, there's a book you should pick up called The Tenth Circle of Hell, which is about Bosnian death camps, and there's another book you should pick up called Shake Hands with the Devil, which talks about the Rwandan crisis and how when the Rwandan people rose up to destroy their neighbor, they killed them with 10 times the efficiency the Nazis killed Jews. There is a real problem in Africa. There's a real heart of darkness down there. It's run by different warring militias, ethnic groups. Hatred is everywhere. You know, some people, there's some in the metaphysical community who claim that since Africa was like the birthplace of all of humanity and the world and all the rest of it, that since the world is in such a state of chaos, the heart of the world being Africa, that's like a symptom of showing the sickness of the rest of the world. And unfortunately, although I may not agree with the logic they've arrived to that conclusion, I cannot deny their evidence. We got some cyber eye updates. Now, everybody knows that bionic eyes are just the sexy shit, so we got some more data on that. U.S. scientists have designed a bionic eye, which will allow blind people to see again. Okay, let me read that again. U.S. scientists have designed a bionic eye that will allow blind people to see again. Imagine if you were picking that up in Braille. You got that one sentence in Braille. It comprises a computer chip that sits in the back of an individual's eye, linked up to a mini video camera built into glasses that they wear. Images captured by the camera are beamed to the chip, which translate them into impulses the brain can interpret. Wow. The device has been designed by Professor Ghislain Dagnelli at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. Professor Dagnelli said the retinal implant contains tiny electrodes. If you stimulate a single electrode, the person will see a single dot of light. Already tested the implants containing a handful of electrodes, but the end device will contain 50 to 100, giving a better overall picture. So this is like, I guess it would look sort of like viewing things through like a light bright that changes color. We hope this will be enough for the person to be able to make their way through a building, find a door or window, or avoid obstacles, for example. To us, the images look very basic, but for someone who's previously blind, they are a massive step forward. Yeah, well, seeing something is better than seeing nothing. But he added, there's still quite a bit of work that we need to fine-tune it. Being able to see faces will be quite a bit down the line. Well, let's hope that Moore's Law, doubling every 18 months, will help us with that one. He said that training the individual to learn how to interpret the blurry images should help. Anita Lifestone of the RNIB said, this is a revolutionary piece of technology and really has huge potential to change people's lives. But we need to be aware it is still some way in the future. So it is vaporware, but they do have beta of it, and that is hot. Because anything that helps blind people see, you know, I'm all about. I'd love to. What a great project that'd be, eh? Wouldn't that just be a great project? The guy who set us up when we were in New York, he's currently taking a whole bunch of cybernetics classes. And he wants to dedicate his life to cybernetics, which, by the way, if you're sitting back and you like tech and you want to know, you know, something noble to dedicate your life to, you know, I'd like to make a difference in the world. Cyber technology is right up there in the making the difference in the world game. You know what I mean? Like, there's not too much you can't do with cyber technology. Shit. If someone came out with the option, the cosmetic surgery to have Wolverine claws implanted, fuck yeah, I'd have those Wolverine claws implanted. You can bank on it. I'd even do it if I was 55. If I wait till 55, because it'd be badass. It'd be badass to be like a 55-year-old wog with Wolverine claws. Fuck yeah. Of course, with my luck, I'd be sleeping, have a bad dream, stab myself in the leg. You know, you never hear about that kind of shit. But it's possible. It's possible. Now, after those two three, four, you know, we got some really good news. I've got some bad news here. This one scared the shit out of me. Because as we all know, Jeb Bush is going to be the next president, the current governor of Florida. This is my prophecy. I made the prediction. I'm going to start singing about this prediction now so that we're aware of it in the future. You know what I mean? That's after whenever George Bush leaves office, whenever George Bush leaves office, it'll be Jeb Bush taking over. All right? Now, the problem with this is, while the religion of Tom Cruise and John Travolta has been getting some tough press in recent days, it has also been it's also been lauded by President Bush's brother. Florida Governor Jeb Bush raised an eyebrow among the critics of the sometimes controversial religion recently, where he honored Scientology volunteer who helped victims of hurricanes in his state. All right, so he was saying thank you to the Scientology people for their help. Members of the group, which was put in the spotlight this week by the New York Daily News for its alleged anti-homosexual philosophy, were given a Points of Light Award as hurricane heroes. Scientology volunteers have been high profile at disaster scenes recently, distributing food and water, as well as delivering controversial touch assist healings that supposedly help victims through the laying of hands. Thank you for your muck mud hut religion. Thank you so much. Laying of hands to heal me. My house fell on my head, and could you imagine that? You're pinned under a house, and up walks a Scientologist and goes, "Let me help you," and touches your face. Wow, talking about adding insult to injury. The Bush brothers have both been good to some groups that have been called cults, says Rick Ross of CultNews.com. Governor Bush has recognized Scientology, while his brother in the White House has actually appointed a follower of Reverend Moon, David Kapura, to dole out taxpayer money to the so-called faith-based initiatives. Seems to me like the fox is guarding the hen house. So, great. And of course, the government will side with any religion that toes the party line. If the government could have a religion that turned... Think about this now. If you were in government, you were like an evil fuck. Okay, let's imagine first, just, you know, half a second, that you are, in fact, an evil fuck in government. Now, when you're in government, you're looking at all your people and everyone's rising up because they're like, whoa, man, our government's an evil fuck. So what do? You're going to need a religion that keeps these people in line. You need a religion that will dope people out. You need another opiate of the masses. That is what you need. So if the Christian faiths and all these other faiths are starting to fall by the wayside, you can't really get behind Islam because you're killing all the Muslims. You're like, it's wholesale slaughter on the Muslims. So what do you need? Well, you need something else. Along comes Scientology with its pseudo-psychological science that tells people they need to get off drugs, even if they're mentally unbalanced. It tells people that they need to, you know, just abandon their families, abandon everything, and just believe in the asparagus cans, and we'll get you thetan-free, and you'll be living your life, you know, singing, wearing your beige robe, humming, "I'm an Oscar Mayer wiener." Okay, that's what they want, and I don't want that. Okay, I want people to be free, even if you hate me, if you want to murder me or whatever. That's all cool. I'll fight you on it. But, you know, at least you're free. At least you got free thought. At least you're able to make up your own mind about things. At least you're able to have dreams and have hopes and have crazy visions of art and beauty and music and grace. It's a handy thing to be able to do that. And it's all of these things which are the light of humanity. And that is exactly the kind of stuff that Scientology seeks to eradicate, and if not eradicate, definitely, even by their own doctrine, control. And from the letter we got, bear in mind, in the beginning of this story, well, it's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Dark times. But on the upswing, I do think that the President Bush's brother will turn tail on Scientology and nail him to the cross, as it were, because after all, they're all good Christian folks. So I don't think that we'll be seeing Jeb Bush holding any asparagus cans any time soon. Don't think, by the way, that your wireless access points, and this is something brilliant, I never really thought of this, right? We got wireless, right? Everybody's got wireless access. Wah-da-da-da-da. Well, you know how easy for them to get a sneak and peek warrant now where the government could just pull up outside your house, point a Pringles can at your house, have a bunch of sponsored hackers in there, and they just get in and own your network, find out everything. They can do a complete site profile just from your bookmarks. Don't give me that shit. Millions of wireless access points spread across the United States and the world. About 70% of these access points are unprotected, wide open to access by anyone who happens to drive by. The other 30% are protected by WEP, wired equivalent privacy. Sorry. And a small handful are protected by the new WPA Wi-Fi Protected Access Standard. At a recent ISSA, Information Systems Security Association, meeting in Los Angeles, a team of FBI agents demonstrated current WEP cracking technique and broke a 128-bit WEP key in about 3 minutes. So, everyone can now post on my live journal what we can do to get past that bullshit, because that needs to be stopped. 3 minutes is not enough time for me to install my nuke disks. Special Agent Jeff Bickers ran the PowerPoint presentation explaining the attack, while the other agents, who did not want to be named or photographed, did the dirty work of sniffing out wireless traffic and breaking WEP keys. Isn't that, by definition, totally fucking illegal? But anyway, that's fine. That's fine. You want to do that? Great. No worries. I'll set you up. This article will be a general overview of the procedures used by the FBI team. A future article will give step-by-step instructions on how to replicate the attack. So this article shows you exactly what they did. Check this out. See if you can find a way to get around this, or at least, you know, stonewall them for a little while longer. Encryption is only, you know, something to slow you down. Encryption is kind of the barbed wire of cyberspace, and it doesn't really, it'll keep some people back, but if you really want to get through there and you got government backing, you're going to be able to get through encryption. Kind of sad, but there it is. Now, as we know, I've talked about TV shows in other countries before, especially in third world countries. And, this particular story I call Videodrome Iraq, which, I mean, it's really kind of self-explanatory. You're not going to believe this. This is unfucking believable, especially in a day and age where everyone's all concerned about censoring everything in America. We got everybody freaking out because Janet Jackson showed a breast, okay, a woman's breast on TV. Oh, my God, kill us all at the Super Bowl, no less. At the great religious festival of the Super Bowl, Janet Jackson exposed her breast while dancing, no less. My God, kill her. Okay, this is what everybody's freaking out about, is this fucking breast. You know, any National Geographic will show you tits. It's not really that hard. FARC shows you tits, for crying out loud. Come on, guys. But while we're concerned about seeing just a woman's breast from a piece of fabric that's been torn away, Iraq's hottest new television program is a reality show. You know this is going to be bad. But the players are not there by choice. And they don't win big bucks, a new spouse, or a dream job. You got that sinking feeling? Instead, all the characters on, quote, Terrorism in the Hands of Justice. That's the name of the show. Terrorism in the Hands of Justice. I want a copy of this show. If anyone out there in cyberspace can get me a copy of this show, I would love to see this shit. Terrorism in the Hands of Justice are captured suspected insurgents. So they pick these guys up who are criminals in Iraq, right? These are the rebels. And for more than a month, they've been riveting viewers with tales of how they killed, kidnapped, raped, or beheaded other Iraqis, usually for a few $100 per victim. Seated before an Iraqi flag, the dejected and cowed prisoners answer questions from an off-camera inquisitor who mocks their behavior. Some sport bruised faces and are black eyes. Far from appearing to be confident heroes battling U.S. occupation, they come across as gangsters. I watch the show every night, and I wait for it patiently because it's very revealing, says Abdul Karim Abdullah, 42, and a Baghdad shop owner. For the first time, we saw those who claim to be jihadists as a simple $50 murderers who do everything in the name of Islam. Our religion is too lofty, noble, and humane to have such a thugs and killers. I wish they would hang them now in the same place where they did their crimes. They should never be given any mercy. Well, that's spoken like a true Muslim there, pal. Broadcast on Al Iraqiya, the state-run network set up by the U.S. Occupation Authority in 2003, Terrorism in the Hands of Justice has become one of the most effective arrows in the government's counterinsurgency propaganda quiver. Well, aside from the fact that I'm just appalled with the use of the metaphor of effective arrows in a quiver, that's just terrible. But anyway, never mind that. That's what they're putting on TV in Iraq. Now, it says right here that it's obviously counterinsurgency propaganda. But that's pretty much what's going on in this U.S.-run thing. So we're not allowed to see breasts. But these people getting beat to shit on, you know, and then confessing their crimes to the world, well, that's all permitted, you know. And we live in the free country over here, right? Isn't that the way that works? Now, about the Holoscreen, on April 1, there was a story that came out about a Holoscreen projector. And, of course, as the statement goes, you know, if something is too good to be true, chances are it is. So, in effort, I have to go forward and say that now, yes, the Holoscreen was an April Fool's joke. I fell for it. I got an ocean of email telling me that, yes, in fact, the Holoscreen projector was an April Fool's joke. Now, I hate that. I totally hate that when they do that. Like, why would you do that? That totally pisses me off. I know it's just a childish gag and you should have known, blah, 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 blah. But it bugs me. It bugs me that, you know, I reported this. I was really excited about it. And now, you know, blah, I should have been suspect. I should have been suspect, but I wasn't. And on top of all that, it was a product which I reviewed, and it was a joke product. So I suppose that's probably okay. But in response to that gag Holoscreen projector, I will now offer this WOG response, which was sent to me from Rainstreak. So although the Holoscreen projector is a gadget that you cannot purchase, I give you a type of WOG knife, which was found by Rainstreak and then sent to me. Very, very cool. This is an all-purpose survival tool previously available only to elite Spetsnaz Special Forces and Soviet Air Force pilots. It's perfect for sportsmen, survivalists, climbers, pilots, parachutists, WOGs, adventurers, Indiana Jones, my Uncle Heshy. It's crazy out there. Every single away team on every Star Trek episode ever, every red shirt had one of these stuck up his bum. Great for police, fire, rescue personnel, too. A terrific gift for businessmen of the 21st century corporate jungle. Yes, yes, in fact, when they're saying out and out that this has a place inside the briefcase for every WOG, it's true, and perfect for your next camping trip. The ditty bag or the trunk of your car. It's definitely very good for your AWOL bag. It's 15 inches long with a 10-inch high carbon steel blade, our favorite for hefty chopping tools. It only weighs 1.5 pounds. It's a machete, knife, shovel, hammer, ice pick, sewing needle, saw, pry bar, ruler, navigation sight, parachute cord cutter, screwdriver, wrench, and more. It's new and in the box. It's serial numbered. It's got a lifetime warranty, and it's not bad for $80. Thing looks really dope too. It's a little big to put on the belt, but it's perfect for the AWOL bag. So go check that out. Your holographic screen was stupid anyway. Who wants that? It's a dumb thing. Now, apparently, there's going to be an octagon fight. Yes, it's true. Stephen Hawking is going to crawl into the octagon with a bunch of other physicists because, well, at least I think he will, because they're saying that there's no such thing as black holes. And of course, Steve is a big black hole guy. So hey, let's get it on. Black holes are staples of science fiction, and many think astronomers have observed them indirectly. But according to a physicist at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California, these awesome breaches in space-time do not, and indeed cannot exist. Oh, now, black holes, of course, are singularities, which is kind of funny. When you got to look at, if you take all the radio telescope data, this is true now. If you take all the radio telescope data that has ever landed on the planet in recorded history, okay, that we have, like, radio telescopes up, that we paint a picture of the galaxy of, okay, this is your data from which you construct the galaxy, okay? A cigarette ash falling 3 feet has more energy than all the radio signals that have fallen on the Earth combined. So your data sample is a cigarette ash falling 3 feet. That's what you paint pictures of the universe of. Now, furthermore, there's the whole Big Bang Theory, which I think is the mother of all improbabilities. This Big Bang Theory they got on the go. And, of course, the modern physics model has room for, you know, a couple hundred million black holes. Every black hole is a singularity, which means it doesn't fit within the model of science and physics. So I kind of look at the model of science and physics and go, well, if your model has got, you know, 100 million singularities that don't fit in within your model, I think your model might be kind of shit. So I think, in actuality, the realm of physics needs to be, kind of looked at and gone over a little bit more because there's some great, big, huge truck-driving holes in the current physics model. No, I do not want to get into a debate with anyone through the email. Thank you very much. Over the past few years, observations of the motions of galaxies have shown some 70% of the universe seems to be composed of a strange dark energy that is describing the universe's accelerated expansion. It is also what drives me every single day. George Chaplin thinks that the college of the thinks that a collapse of the massive stars, which believed to generate black holes, actually leads to the formation of stars that contain dark energy. It is a near certainty that black holes do not exist, he claims. Wow, you're putting your name on the line there, Chief. Black holes are one of the most celebrated predictions of Einstein's general theory of relativity, in which he explains that gravity is warping space-time caused by massive objects. The theory suggests that a sufficiently massive star, when it dies, will collapse under its own gravity to a single point. But Einstein didn't believe in black holes, Charplain argues. Unfortunately, he adds, he couldn't articulate why. At the root of the problem is the other revolutionary theory of 20th century physics, in which Einstein was also helped formulate quantum mechanics. Now, past that, you get into some really hairy, nosebleed stuff, let me tell you. When you start dealing with the quantum mechanics field, there's a great film, which is a little hokey, but it's a good sort of, you know, feeler. I don't believe that anyone should study anything, really. You know, if you, let's say, you know, people are like, wow, Sean, I'm really interested in cybernetics, you know? And they go, well, how do I learn this? Because it's such a massive field. Well, it's the same way you learn computers. No one ever picked up a computer and said, I want to learn computers. You know, some people can do that, and they're blessed in such a way that they can, you know, go and just pick up books and start reading and make it happen. Cybertech being one of them. Probably the smartest person I know. Well, yeah, he's probably one of the smartest people I know. I would definitely, I'd like to get Enki and Cybertech in the octagon sometime. And depending on the kung fu, you know, if they were going to fight with Microsoft style, I'm quite certain that my buddy Cybertech would spank Enki. But it all depends, you know. It's hard when you get two big brain friends and they go at it, you know. But Enki, I don't know, the name of his game is adaptability. That guy is more adaptive than Bruce Lee on speed. I mean, the guy's just brilliant. So, you know, I don't know. But the way you learn is, if you're not one of my superhuman friends, is you have to, you don't study things, you get to know them. Immerse yourself in the world of quantum mechanics. If you want to know about quantum mechanics, you want to get involved with heavy math stuff, don't start in right in with some math. Sure, you can look at some stuff, read a few books, ease into it, Math for Dummies. Go see the movie Pi. Go see the movie What the Bleep Do We Know. Acquire these films and watch them. They're very, very good movies, and they talk about some of the beauty of mathematics. Mathematics is the baseline of the cosmos. It is what is true. It is absolute value. I love math. I wish I was better at math. I would probably, if I was loaded, like if I just, you know, won the lottery tomorrow, I'd probably spend the rest of my life in university. Quite honestly, I'd just dorm the fuck up. You know, well, I probably wouldn't dorm because I'm married. But, you know, I get a house on the campus there or whatever. And I just go to university and learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. And just before I die, I'd give away like 150 mechs to all the young people and, you know, start a big mecha cult. Hey, there's a thought. But What the Bleep Do We Know is available on DVD now. You can check that out. And that's got some interesting stuff. Lots of starting points. Lots of concepts about how things begin and end in the mind and how thought affects reality. Very, very cool stuff. And it's part of the emergent mindset that is happening in today's society, with people going, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, I think there's more to life than just being a meat bot, but all the current classic religions don't seem to form along with my views of God. And it seems that now quantum mechanics is providing the place where science, metaphysics, and philosophy all meet. And it all seems to kind of come together at the junction of quantum mechanics. So I really think that if anyone's out there interested in this kind of stuff, you should check that out, because some of the research I've done is very, very cool. And leading to that, we're going to talk about today's daily hack, which is very, very cool, called reality hacking. Now, when I was younger, I used to call this fish bowling. And I call it fish bowling because these are for people, and I'm sure there's lots of people who listen to this. Because you listen to this, I would dare say, I would almost guarantee that by default, the filter that if you've listened this far and you're listening to this show, you are one of these people who know what fish bowling is. Fish bowling is when you sit on a bench somewhere and look at the rest of the world as if it is in a fish bowl. You are not a part of it. You are merely an observer. This means that you impartially view all things. You look at how people act, how they're desperate, how they're involved with their lives. Do this at the mall or any place where there's a lot of people. You know, you just watch them. Or if you go to some strange fetish social, you'll sit in the corner and fishbowl. You watch what's going on. You watch how they interact. And this is vital, and it's something that a lot of people are doing now, and it's becoming more and more known as reality hacking. And the fishbowling is just the beginning of it. Reality cracking is a very important and very important critical activity. As someone wrote to the fellow who did this picture, this is an introduction. More than that, reality cracking can be accomplished by anyone with a critical mind. You don't need hours of undisturbed time in front of a computer. You can practice your reality cracking skills all day long, every day of your life, and you should, lest you be taken advantage of unknowingly. Very true. And this is one of the reasons why I have the viewpoints that I have. Yes, sir. One of the main points and the satisfactory game after time you gain every time after you arrive to see through a concealed message, which is always so obvious afterwards, it's really a great feeling. You may ask yourself why so many essays of the reality cracking section are directed against advertisement and our consumeristic habits. So this is an anti-consumer, anti-advertising skill. Simply stated, there's a lot of money being made and a lot of power being gathered by people that promote useless consumerism. And this determines a great part of the reality you live in. You pay for it in gradually limited economic mobility, pollution, threats to your health, and declining standard of living as measured by things that really matter. This is what the section is about, identifying these forces and giving you opportunities to lessen or eliminate their control over your life. Does any of this sound familiar? We're not suggesting that you pick up guns and start blasting away. What we advocate does far more damage than bullets to these forces and people behind them and makes life much more enjoyable for you while it returns you, or at least part of the possibility of living the way that you, not somebody else, chooses. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. Reality hacking, all these news stories, I mean, it could be argued that Newsreel itself is a reality hack because we're trying to give you the truth. And the truth is an actual item. It is something, the truth does exist. It isn't all spin, you know, there is, the truth is out there, it does exist. This True Broadcast is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight and standing up against the tyranny of today's age. Those people are Forleet, Dave, the Great Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Art, Diremu, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Alan, and our new subscribers this month, people who have just joined the ranks. The reinforcements are Druid Y, Simaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. And if you would like to be a reinforcement and help this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Special thanks to some hard netrunners who got me this data today so I could out it to you. No Delete, Mega Program, Valerian, Sylvanus, Omega Draconis, Rainstreak, Bonsai Poppy, Dead Code, Nighthawk, Binary Blitz, Zizix, Valerian, Ronan, Sariat, and Vavrik, all donated to today's show. Upcoming events, Phoenix Fest tickets have just gone online. It's $35 for the first 150. It's a Burning Man Mutant Fest ripoff, and it looks like it's going to be pretty good. It's in Southern Washington. Its dates are July 21st to 25th. So if you're in the Washington area, want to go check that out. Your creativity, energy, magic, and madness make the festival what it is. Go check it out. Always. These things are great places to meet people, meet girls, meet anything, meet whatever you're after currently. You will find it at these festivals. And what a great way to meet, eh? Nothing better than having a good story about how the two of you met. And thanks again to everyone and their assistants for gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up a Clock DVA album, yeah, old school, called Advantage. Clock DVA Advantage. And I'm going to leave you now from those melodic masters, the Insane Clown Posse. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Say I talk too much, I don't care, I talk too much. Mama say I failed in life, I don't care, I failed in life. Daddy says I drink too much, I don't care, I drink too much. People say I'm headed nowhere, and I don't fucking care. Jimmy Johnson's gonna die, Sarah Susie's gonna die. Everybody's dying slow, I don't give a fuck, girl. I'm only short like 50 bucks, I couldn't give 50 fucks. I could really use some help, you could go and fuck yourself. Everybody's gonna die, terror falling from the sky. Mothers with their children crying, I could give a fuck why. They say you'll never walk again. What? Like the Sega ear.
I think somebody stole my truck.
Tell someone who gives a fuck.
Your world is falling. Schwarzenegger. Wait a minute, I don't care.
I'ma shoot you in the face.
I'll tell you how the bullets taste. Critics say you imitate.
I don't give a fuck, you late.
No 50 million people dying.
Oh, I'm crying.
Tell me all the things you saw as if I give a fuck at all.
You see me sitting in the chair, yeah, but I ain't even there.
Everything you saying to me, go right through me.
If I was to pick it up, I'd have to give a fuck.
And I don't give a fuck about you. I don't give a fuck about you.
All around,
I'm inside like fuck 'em all. What's the main event on Raw?
Boys, mad cow disease. I get that with double cheese.
STD steady spreading.
Bear back up in this net.
I don't care.
If I survive, give it to me point blank. Bet it.
Did you hit him?
Yes, and I don't give a fuck less.
Careful, it's a dark night. Get your money or your life.
Take them both for all I care. Dump your bullets right here.
Come on. Notice on the door.
Addicted crawling on the floor. Ask me, did I ever care? Nah.
I don't care.